Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Monday morning. Robbie and Rex Road presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty, helping home buyers and sellers in Middle Tennessee for 20 years. Titans lose yesterday 23-16 to the Colts. They fall to 2-3 on the season. We spent most of the show to this point discussing the defensive side of the ball, and we will certainly get back into that as the show goes on here. I do want to talk about the offense for a little bit, Joe. Yesterday, they only muster up 16 points. They do score one touchdown on the road, which is one more than they scored in their two previous road games. So I guess maybe some progress there. The nice play to Tajay Spears on the reverse. He made a heck of a cutback on that play to get in the end zone. They were inches away from another touchdown, Joe, when the DeAndre Hopkins in the back of the end zone pass from Derrick Henry that was just a little bit wide as his foot came down out of bounds. So almost a couple of touchdowns yesterday. Overall, offensively, you know, you look at Derrick Henry's numbers, and he only carries the ball 13 times for the Titans, 43 yards, 3.3 per carry. So Derrick Henry really wasn't getting a lot done on the ground yesterday for the Titans. Spears, 7 carries, 34 yards. But Joe, and I hate when people do this, but I'm about to do it anyway. If you take out the 19-yard run from Spears on the reverse, he wasn't getting much done on the ground either, you know, just running strictly between the tackles. So I thought the Colts did a really good job of bottling up the Titans' running game yesterday for the most part. They finished with 22 carries, 89 yards, a couple of those by Tannehill as well, including a 13-yard scramble. DeAndre Hopkins was the story of the game offensively for the Titans. 8 catches, 140 yards on 11 targets. And as the game wore on, they couldn't guard him. I mean, they could not stop DeAndre Hopkins out there. And he was making plays left and right down the field, made some plays that were explosive plays down the field, just looked like the DeAndre Hopkins of old in some ways. And, Joe, look, maybe this is unfair of me, and I'm reading way too much into this, but I kind of had a problem the last couple of drives, specifically – the second-to-last drive the Titans had, which resulted in a field goal that made it 20-16 at that point before Indy went down the next drive to make it 23-16. Hopkins is moving the ball down the field for the Titans. You know, they hit a couple of runs. Like, Henry had an 8-yard run on that drive. They drive all the way down the field, and they wind up in deep in Indianapolis territory on the 10-yard line, and a 3rd and 6. And on that 3rd and 6, I watched specifically for it. Hopkins is lined up on the left side. He's been unguardable for the entire second half. And Tannehill drops back to pass, and I'm just watching his head the whole time. And they never even looked to Hopkins on that play. Never looked at him. And they throw the ball to Spears. Spears gets 5 yards instead of 6. He got absolutely crushed, by the way, on that play by Buckner and Speed to the point where he was kind of wobbling off the field a little bit. The next play is 4th and 1 from the Indy 5. They line up in the shotgun, which we're going to get to at 7:45 a little bit later today, which drives me nuts. We'll get into that a little bit later. We know what happens. Derrick Henry gets stuffed in the shotgun, and the Titans turn the ball over on downs, and that's pretty much it. The Colts get the ball, and they drive down the field. They kick the field goal to make a 7-point game. I got a pretty big problem there on 3rd and 6, you not looking Hopkins' way when he has just been torching Indianapolis all day long. And to not even look at him there, I can't believe with the game on the line that the Titans didn't look to get the ball to DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, and of course, you know, not sure exactly on that play. Like what you know, what's read one, read two, all that stuff, right? But I'm with you in general. Like, yeah, you know, that play, other play, force feed it to him. He was unguardable.
If he's not read one, call a play that makes him read one.
Yeah, yeah, sure, yeah. No, I mean, I can't disagree. He was the Titans' best player yesterday. He's been terrific. Think about the Titans didn't get Hopkins.
I know
this offseason. He was really good. And Tannehill, I think, was for the most part too. I mean, that was what was working. He had clean pockets and he was making good throws, and Hopkins was just, I mean, Hopkins had this one on the sideline that was just like, whoa, man, yep. This guy's something else. This guy's different. And that's okay to take out the, you know, Vrabel did the same thing with the Colts rushing game. He said, you know, you take out that 56 yarder. And I'm like, yeah, then they only ran for 137 yards on you. So.
Yep.
But, you know, as we all know, Mike Vrabel's never won a game. He's on the hot seat. He's fireable, terrible coach. But got to make sure we keep having that caveat all week.
Correct.
No, one thing about yesterday is Hopkins gets 11 targets. Now, Chig had the most targeted day he's had, I think, this year, and did some things. But definitely one of those, boy, it's DeAndre and the DeAndre Etts at receiver. A little bit different than last week when it's like, I don't want Kyle Phillips in there or well, whatever, Treylon Burks. Yeah. Now, Phillips was out there, and we'll see. I think he'll be weaved a little bit more, but, man, they need more from the other guys too. Well, not named Hopkins.
Wide receivers not named Hopkins yesterday. One catch, 9 yards. It was NWI. That was it. One catch, 9 yards for wide receivers not named DeAndre Hopkins. And I get it, and I was talking with somebody about this on Twitter yesterday. They're like, okay, well, Hopkins had 8 for 140, so why would you throw the ball anywhere else? I get it, like, but I don't think it's that much to ask your wide receiver core other than Hopkins to manage more than one catch for 9 yards
Chip in
a little bit more than that.
Yeah. Well, they need Burks. You know, they need Burks. I mean, there's just no doubt about it. So, but another thing, you know, and I know this isn't, and we're talking receivers around, but another troubling trend, even though I think there are things getting better, about the offense, the run game was not good yesterday, but you know, there are things that are getting better. Protection wasn't an issue. The red zone performance is dreadful.
It is.
And that is a big, big problem. And that's a departure from another departure from what we have become accustomed to seeing with Tennessee Titans football.
Well, they went through a 3-year stretch basically where they were the best team in the NFL in the red zone, right? If not the best, then certainly in the top three in the red zone. And Not finishing drives often enough right now. I mean, first off, I know it didn't work. I mean, I loved the Henry play call yesterday where you pitch it to him and he makes the pass to Hopkins. I mean, it was just a slight overthrow by Henry, and it's hard to get mad at Derrick Henry for a slight overthrow. I mean, he's not a quarterback, so.
Of course, he still took responsibility after the game. He's like, I got to be better.
He did, but it's just like, all right, man, but. You know, it's just that you're okay, a couple inches away from that one being a touchdown. You did get the ball in the end zone with Spears. But again, like I just brought up the drive where you get all the way down to the Indy 10 and you're not able to punch that one in. Like you got to find a way to start converting some of these drives to touchdowns. Even the first drive of the game, Joe. I mean, the Titans' first drive of the game was awesome. I mean, they were moving right down the field offensively. They took up a lot of time on the clock. And Andy holds them to a field goal. Like, you got to find a way to punch those drives in and to get those drives from 3 points to 7 points. Because, I mean, you score a touchdown on one of those drives, or certainly two of them, and it's a different game yesterday.
Yeah, that was a great drive. A lot of good stuff on there. That was NWI's catch was on that.
It was.
That was Chig with a big first down catch. That was also they had a play with Hopkins lined up in the backfield, and then Tannehill finds him in the seam on a 3rd and 6 to convert. Now that would have been, you know, maybe the drive of the year for the Titans, because that was the Henry pass out of the end zone. And then I didn't totally understand the OPI on Chig thing, but either way, like it wasn't caught anyway. So they were you know, converting all their third downs. They were 4 for 5 on third down until that one, and it looked really promising. But then, yeah, it's like, man, see, when you do it, when you go 16 plays and 75 yards and you take 8 minutes and 31 seconds off the clock and you go 4 for 5 on third down, that's like, oh, that's so demoralizing for the other team, except you only got 3, and actually they just feel like they won.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you go all the way down the field. And I did think after that first drive, okay, well, the Titans will be able to move the ball pretty much all day, which, by the way, I mean, they kind of did move the ball all day. They just didn't get the possessions. I mean, Stonehouse had one punt yesterday, 43 yards. If you told me that heading into the game, I would think, well, that's good news for the Titans. They probably win easy. But you just got to find a way to convert some of those drives into touchdowns. I mean, I guess the good news is Nick Folk continues to be automatic, baby. 3-3.
He continues to kick butt. you know, but he's a little bit too active week after week.
615-737-1025 for our phone number. We'll take more of your thoughts on the Titans offense. What do you make of the offense, particularly on the road where they've scored one touchdown in three games? Your thoughts on that and more from the Colts game yesterday next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game, live from our 1025 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025, our phone number. Titans lose 23-16 yesterday against the Colts. They're 2-3 now in last place in the AFC South. By the way, Jacksonville beats Buffalo yesterday in London. They improved to 3-2. Obviously, the Colts 3-2 with their win against the Titans. Houston loses to Atlanta, so now the Colts and Jags at 3-2, the Texans and Titans at 2-3. That's where the AFC South stands after five games. Joe, what about Chig? We got a lot of people asking about Chig on the text line. He had another drop again yesterday. He had two offensive pass interference penalties. Now, I'm with you. Like, the first offensive pass interference penalty was kind of mystifying. Like, there wasn't a whole lot of contact there. And then he ended up, you know, the ball wasn't complete anyway, so it didn't really change the outcome. And if you go back and watch it, the second offensive pass interference penalty was a swing pass to Derrick Henry where the timing of it got messed up and the rush was in Tannehill's face and he kind of had to pump it. So Chig was downfield blocking because in the timing of the play, Henry was supposed to have had the ball by then and Tannehill had to pump fake and it delayed the timing. So two unfortunate calls there. I don't know that I've got a huge problem with either one of them from Chig Okonkwo, but he did have another drop. And he's just, I mean, he's not making very many plays. And quite frankly, there was one play where they swung it out to him wide yesterday, and I can't remember who made the tackle. It may have been Zaire Franklin, who's obviously a really good player. I have to go back and check it. But it just feels like Chig's not breaking as many tackles and not running as physically and as powerfully as maybe we were used to seeing or maybe we thought we'd see. I don't know. What do you think of Chig, the way he played yesterday? He ends up with 9 targets, 5 catches, 33 yards, but it just feels like, to me anyway, they need a lot more from him.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's been a disappointing year so far, and I agree with what you're saying about him looking a little less explosive. Maybe he's banged up. At this point, 5 games into an NFL season, sure, everybody's banged up to some extent. So I don't know if that's a thing or not. He hasn't been on the injury report, but there's been a lot of emphasis on blocking. It's a new offense. You know, last year he kind of weaved in there and they kind of snuck him off for some things and he had some big plays and then eventually started becoming a more high volume part of the offense. And you kind of thought it would just build on it this year, but it just hasn't worked out that way. So, like a lot of this team, I'd say he was a bit oversold, and I guess by us. I mean, I guess, I don't know. Do we need to take some blame, Robbie?
Maybe so.
There's some people mad at us right now.
There was a strategy that I employed last year was the tight end play around here, where I just eventually got tired of the way Austin Hooper was playing, and eventually got tired of the way Princeton Fant was playing with Tennessee. And then I just went off on both of them on the radio, and both of them turned into pretty good players out of that. So maybe we just need to just absolutely rail on Chig today, and maybe he's going to turn around after that. I don't know.
Maybe. Because I will read this on here on the text line with Robbie and Joe. Are all the fans still crazy as hell to you guys after watching our veteran team lose to the rebuilding Colts, putting us last in division? LOL, 2 weeks ago, y'all was just ranting why fans were upset, LOL. Is this accurate, Robbie? Do we say the fans were crazy as hell?
Well, no, I don't remember saying anybody was crazy as hell. But, you know, we did talk about, like, the idea of not enjoying watching the football team and why would you not try to be as good as you could be so far this year. Now, look, maybe the answer is they're not very good. I don't know. But I still, my opinion on that part of it hasn't changed. Like, I mean, the idea of them rebuilding and going the other way, like, if you were going to do that, we've talked about this before, so we're not going to spend a lot of time on it today. But if you're going to do that, the time to do that was before the season started with some of the decisions that you were going to make to not bring back Tannehill or to trade Henry or whatever you were going to do. That was the time to do it. When you decide to bring all those guys back, then you try to go win as many football games as you can win.
Which they're going to continue to do. They're going to try to beat Baltimore. And, yeah, if their defense plays like they played yesterday, they won't. But they're going to try to beat Baltimore and get to 3-3, which would be really good. For, you know, just like we talked about going to the year. But look, today, any Titans fan today who's upset is absolutely justified. Don't get 100%. Me wrong. Yeah, you know, it's every week. It's like whenever the Titans play well, we should all try to not overreact and point the fingers at all the negative Nellies and say, see, they're going to be just fine. And when they play like they did yesterday, I would flip it around and say, it's not like the whole blow it up or whatever. Like you said, like this is their team. You know, blow it up, rebuild. I comment on my column, blow it up, go find that next quarterback. Well, they just moved up to draft that guy.
Right.
Like, he's going to get the opportunity, and then we'll see what they do next year and how they approach it. But this team right now is trying to win every week. And, you know, they may not have the answers, and they may win 6-7 games this year, but that's what they're trying to do. Here, since we're jumping on fans, Robbie, I'm going to jump on LD here.
Okay.
LD says, at least the players and GM got their pre-flight / pregame style on. That's the most important thing, right? Yeah, so this kind of goes to me to like the coach in the offseason who, like, climbs a mountain or, like, surfs in Hawaii or something, and people scream at him because he should be breaking down film. I mean, every single team, you know, these guys go on trips, and then the social media team, you know, takes shots of their suits or their Jordans or whatever and puts it on social media. And then half of those teams win and half of those teams lose.
Hey, Rand Carthon looked great yesterday.
Yeah. Who gives a crap? actually TD mentioned this after the game. Like, someone actually commented on like his Instagram post, like, he should be too worried more about the team than his outfit. And I was like, what? Everyone must dress like Franciscan monks as they go to a football game until they win, you know. Come on.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Nate in Columbia. Nate, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
What's up, guys? I've got a big solution to this problem. What Tannehill needs to do is just start throwing the ball over the receiver's head out bounds 5 yards, and the receiver needs to run into the defender, because apparently uncatchable is not a thing anymore.
Just draw some pass interference penalties?
Yeah, exactly. Also, I've got a quick question about rules. When a player is touched, is there a time, a time frame of when the player has to hit the ground to be considered down? Like, yesterday what happened was the Colts quarterback got hit and then ran for, like, I guess 2 or 5 more yards and fell down, and they called him down. Is there, like, a, you know, a 10-second Mississippi or something that has to happen before? Because obviously if you get hit on the 5-yard line and you trip and fall by the turf monster on the 50, that's different. You're right. Not going to be called down.
Right. Like, if it's, I think it's just kind of a judgment call by the refs, right, Joe, of like if the contact is what causes the player to go ground. Now, quarterback right. is also different, because if the quarterback falls down, they're basically blowing the play dead, because a lot of those are times where the quarterback's giving himself up to.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So
that would be how I explain that.
I hear you on there was one PI on the Titans where it was like, I was like, uncatchable should be a, I don't remember if, I don't, that wasn't a Fulton one. I forget who that was. Maybe SMB. But
I think it was, yeah.
It was uncatchable, I thought, but, you know, it was also contact, so.
So the Titans have one touchdown offensively in 3 road games. I keep trying not to make this a road home thing, but I mean, the numbers are what they are. The interesting part about this, Joe, is like Tannehill, I thought was fine yesterday, 23 to 34, 264 yards, did have the one interception at the end of the game. Now, that was a play that, I mean, you gotta push the ball down the field. So you're going to take some more risks than you would normally take. So, you know,
it was a Hail Mary.
It's a bad looking pick, but I understand the situation around it. But Tannehill was, I thought, fine yesterday. Hopkins obviously was really good, but it just comes down to like the red zone, right? Like they got to start finding ways to put the ball in the end zone more than they are. One touchdown on the road through three road games, it's just not going to cut it. You're not going to win very many football games doing that.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the stat now that's over time here is a real concerning stat and a big departure, you know, for this team. And, you know, look, I think there's a lot to like about different things we've seen from Tim Kelly and his offense. You know, the running game has been inconsistent, but I mean, there's a lot to like, I think. And each week there are things that are working and there's a lot of creativity. You know, when people were talking about Downing's job after his first year, Vrabel immediately went to the third down in the red zone stats as his evidence that he actually did a good job that year.
Yeah.
Those are big, big stats for an OC. And so that is priority one for this team, because I do think, you know, they're going to move between the 20s. Now, a little bit yesterday that I would caution, that's kind of like last week, we cautioned a lot about the defense. Like, the Bengals are Burrow's not Burrow. You know, the Colts, Quiddy Pay's hurt. Like, they don't have the edge guys,
right?
That's not their strength. Their strength is really interior rushers, and that did give the Titans some trouble. But so, yes, they had clean pockets. They protected well better yesterday. They made some progress, but also you have to look at the opponent. That's not their strength, right? So, you know, there are better teams ahead on the edge. But still, a lot of things that I think are getting better. But if you can't score touchdowns in the red zone all year, 6 or 7 wins may be optimistic.
Well, they're 1 of 4 in the red zone yesterday. I mean, it's got to be better. It's got to be better than that. 615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll continue the discussion on the Titans offense. Got a lot of your thoughts to get to as well. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Monday morning. I got some tickets to give away, a pair of tickets to see Fantasia at Ascend Amphitheater coming up on Sunday, October 22nd. Be caller number 3, 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Caller number 3 will win a pair of tickets to see Fantasia at Ascend Amphitheater coming up on Sunday, October 22nd, 615-737-1025, our phone number. Titans lose yesterday 23-16 to the Colts. They fall to 2-3 on the season. We're taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com on the game. I got a texter that said, we had a pocket this game. That's exciting. Despite the run offense and defense, just weird that game. Unfortunately, Fulton is proving to be way too much of a liability. See, that's the thing. Like, the offensive line, I don't really know what to make of it yesterday, Joe, just from exactly what you said. Like, the Colts didn't have their edge rushers. They're not especially strong at edge rusher anyway. So what's that going to mean against the Ravens? What's that going to mean against some other teams on the schedule that have stronger edge rushers than the Colts do as they move forward? I don't know. Now, having said that, good to see Peter Skoronski back in there yesterday. I thought he makes a noticeable difference. You know, and it's anytime that you're protecting the quarterback well, it's got to be a confidence builder for the offensive line. So, I mean, Joe, my guess is, based on the way the line played yesterday, you're probably not going to see a change heading into London this week where, like, Nicholas Petitfrère is all of a sudden starting at either left or right tackle, would be my guess.
No, and that was interesting, too, that, you know, Petitfrère not yet activated. But, you know, we'll see moving forward where that goes. On the, you know, on the Henry play, which I know we're going to talk about, but Chris Hubbard was the guy who got beat badly on that play. Now, if he isn't, then it's Henry against Zaire Franklin for a yard, and that would have been interesting. But it became very uninteresting because Hubbard lost, you know, on that particular play. That's when I looked at the replay, that was my – I think it's pretty clear. So, you know, we'll see moving forward. You know, I think Dustin in Hopkinsville has an interesting point. It says, I don't like how Tim Kelly uses Henry. When we get a pass first QB, Kelly's playbook will be awesome, but it's not great for Henry. It's interesting because they've gone to that quick toss, right? I think it's a lot. Very like yesterday, they ran outside zone maybe twice, and they just, you know, it used to be so very much of that. Now, even last year, they went to more gap stuff. They transitioned a bit, but I feel like it's a lot more that they do the duo thing, which is kind of like, I mean, it's a gap, but it's kind of like, it's almost like a hybrid of the two. They have the shotgun draw a lot, you know, which, well, again, we're going to talk about this. In the short yardage, not a fan. In general, I think it can work for Henry. It has at times, but it's an interesting point. You know, so much in that West Coast offense about his rise as a great player was also about learning that outside zone, inside zone, but especially the outside zone cutback stuff, and really getting great at it and all the little nuances and details that go with that. And you're looking at your landmarks and all that stuff and being able to see how a play is unfolding and then making the right cutback and all that stuff, you know, that was a huge part of in 18 and 19 and 20, Derrick Henry becoming what he became. And now it is a very different run scheme. And after a game like yesterday, I get that sentiment that Dustin has, which is like, maybe this just doesn't suit him well. But the bottom line is, you know, Spears is effective. And when they're on the field together, I think there's a lot of good. The Spears touchdown had a lot to do with Derrick Henry drawing the defense the other way.
Correct.
So you get a touchdown out of it. So, you know, I think there's a lot there that can be good. And like against the Bengals and Chargers at home, I thought that the combo of those two was really good. And obviously Henry has a huge game last week. So I hear you, but I still think that there's a lot of meat on the bone there.
Well, and it was surprising to me that Henry had never really got going yesterday. I mean, he only had 13 carries, but he's only averaging 3.3 a pop, right? I mean, he's had a long run of 8. So, I mean, it wasn't Cleveland Browns level bad for the Titans in the running game, but they just never really got it going with any consistency in the game. And look, they reached the point where I felt confident enough in the protection and confident enough in the way that Hopkins was playing that based on the way the game was playing out, Joe, I thought they should throw it more. Like, it was one of those games where they would hand it off to Henry or Spears, and I was like, no. Hopkins is kicking their butt. Keep throwing the ball to Hopkins. So it was one of those games. It was interesting the way that plays out, because usually, and I said this on the pregame show with D. Mace and Chris Sanders yesterday, usually when Tannehill's throwing the ball 35, 40 times, that's not a very good recipe for success for the Titans. I actually thought yesterday, based on the way the line was blocking and the way that Hopkins was playing, they probably could have stood to throw it more.
No, for sure. I mean, Hopkins gets 11 targets. Maybe he should have had about 16, 17 targets. And again, so where are the Colts' goods? Zaire Franklin is good.
Yes.
Okay. I thought Speed, who talking about, you know, Henry had one potentially big run and he got him at the foot. Or else I think Henry's got 20, 30 anyway on that play. Those guys, you know, in the interior of their defensive line, even though it's a little banged up, I mean, that was – the Titans weren't winning there. They were winning in terms of creating a nice, clean pocket for Ryan Tannehill. So lean in on where you're winning.
Yeah, for sure. But that's the thing, too. I mean, that's at some point, like, you do go back to your bread and butter – a little bit if you're yeah. The Titans, if you're Tim Kelly, and it's not like you could just sit there and drop back every play, but you know, what does it all mean for the offense moving forward? I don't know. I mean, looking at the five games to this point, they ran the ball really well in the first half against the Saints, and then they kind of got away from it, and we know what happened with Tannehill in the second half. It was kind of a grinded out performance from Henry against the Chargers. He had 80 yards in the game, but Spears with some big runs in that game. Nothing against Cleveland, dominant against Cincinnati in the running game, and now this yesterday, which was, you know, average at best, 22 carries, 89 yards for a carry. So it's been kind of hit or miss for the Titans running game so far this season through five games.
Yeah, I do think Skoronski back is going to, is going to pay off in that way, and there's some, like Brewer yesterday. That is a tough matchup for him. Now, Brewer is still in the run game. He gets to that second level sometimes. And even on some of those little screens and stuff, like his athleticism and speed to get out to people is like, wow, right? So, I mean, they have some some good elements of a running game, but it is sort of, it's a still a little bit, I think it's still kind of coming together, and it's a little bit all over the place at times and things like that. And I don't know. I did actually think yesterday, and I know this is sacrilege, but I did think yesterday there were a couple runs where I was like, man, I expect Derrick Henry to get to, you know, break that one tackle or get that corner a little bit there, yep, or that seam a little bit faster, and then he's got a big play and he didn't get there. I'm not sitting here saying, oh, he's toast and, you know, he's slow or anything like that. But I thought there were some opportunities for him yesterday that I would have expected him to take advantage of.
Yep, I think that's fair. And then, you know, the rest of the offense, we've talked about this too, but Westbrook Akine, one catch for 9 yards, nothing for Chris Moore. Chris Moore wasn't even targeted in the game, so no targets for Chris Moore. Kyle Phillips got one target. So I'd have to go back and look at the snap counts for him offensively. I don't think there were a ton for Kyle Phillips yesterday.
No, not a ton. I think that could change. We'll see. I mean, it's first game back and all that stuff. Obviously, he's back there on punt return. I would not advise, catching the ball at the four like he did one time.
That was interesting.
But yeah, he did not play. In fact, as soon as you said that, I'm going to TD, and Kyle Phillips had 14 snaps, so 24% of the snaps. So yep, he was out there a little bit. Chris Moore actually had 35 snaps, but like you said, no targets. So it was heavy. You know, Hopkins 50, NWI 40, and Hopkins is still really good.
Yeah, I mean, that, if you're taking away an encouraging part of the game yesterday in terms of what maybe it could mean moving forward, it feels like Hopkins and Tannehill have now found a chemistry that is really good. I mean, look, let's call it what it is. That was like an A.J. Brown-type game yesterday from Hopkins. I mean, eight catches for 140 yards, and he was really good. So, you know, he's probably not going to be that every week, but if they found something to where he's getting you 6 or 7 catches per game, and he's flirting with 70, 75, 80 yards per game right now, like, that's really good news for the Titans. So if I'm taking away one thing that I think could be a positive and that maybe manifests itself more as the Titans move ahead here, it feels like Hopkins and Tannehill have figured things out.
Yes, no doubt. And so can Treylon Burks come back, play, be healthy, be active, and be a real problem at some point, and also have good chemistry with Tannehill? Because if so, yeah, you can see where that right now, I can see where the offense can be something. I'm more concerned, like, what are the answers on defense?
Yeah. Which I did not think we'd be having that conversation at any point this year. Yeah. I mean, it's crazy to think about. The one quick thought on the Burks thing, and I was talking to D-Mace about this a little bit yesterday too, and I want to get your thoughts. Let's say Burks returns to practice this week and he's working his way back before they try to go to London, and we'll, you know, maybe he's physically at a point where he could go if you needed him to. Would you do that if you're the Titans, or would you give him this game off, have him have the bye week next week, and hope that he's completely healthy when he comes back? I know it's a big game in London and you need to win it, but I kind of lean more towards get him completely healthy and get him back full strength. What about you?
Yeah, no, I totally agree. If it's like, oh, come on, suck it up, we need you, no way. Because you get that idle or off week right afterward. So I think absolutely you have to not only bring him back this week if it's like, boom, good, all good, let's go. You know, if that's the case, great. That's good for the Titans, and they could use him. But if you get those 2 weeks, then you would hope that he's ready for the part of the schedule where the Titans should do a fair amount of winning.
Coming up next, it's time for the Rob Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. You can check it out every morning at 7:45. We will do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Don't make me angry.
Sometimes you have to tell someone to pound sand.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
This is the Rob Rant.
Now
on Robbie and Rex Road.
With the Tennessee Oilers, gonna get all over you.
It is that time of the day. Time for the Rob Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. You can check it out every morning at 7:45. The Rob Rant or the Rex Rant. We'll take your thoughts as always. 615-737-1025. Our phone number on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Joe, I enjoy watching Titans games. Very rarely do I get, like, emotionally charged up in a Titans game and take it out on Twitter or X or whatever you want to call it. But there was a play yesterday in the Titans game late in the game that sent me over the edge. And it made me think back to the Butch Jones days of Tennessee football. I even tweeted it out after it happened. Shotgun handoffs to the running back when you need a yard. You deserve to lose with that Butch Jones-esque play call. That was my tweet that I had yesterday. It bothers the heck out of me. So we've talked about this drive already. There's the third and six right before it where they don't look Hopkins' way when he's just been dominating all day, which I had a problem with. They went to Spears. Spears gets tackled 1 yard short. Fine. So Spears is tackled 1 yard short. It's fourth and one on Indy's 10. And the Titans line up in the shotgun. And they hand the ball off to Derrick Henry in the shotgun. And he just gets absolutely bull rushed. And you brought it up earlier. I mean, the argument, Joe, from the coaching standpoint is always going to be, well, if you execute it right, it should work, right? And I get that. But to me, and I've always said this, logically, it just doesn't make any sense to me, especially when you have a running back like Derrick Henry. And I used to say the same thing when the Vols had Jalen Hurd back in the day. You're talking about a big running back. In what world does it make any sense to make your running back step sideways to take a handoff and then get going rather than just turning around, lining up under center, and letting your running back get some momentum and ahead of steam going forward if all you need is a yard? Like, I'm not saying you never run the ball out of the shotgun, because there are times on the field where it works, and obviously, look, we've seen the Titans have some big runs out of the shotgun. There is nothing in football, and I mean nothing, nothing in football that I hate more than a fourth and one or fourth and goal shotgun call to the running back. It makes no sense to me. Especially when you got somebody as massive as Derrick Henry is. Let him get ahead of steam. Let him get rolling. Look, had they lined up in like a goal line formation and they turned around and handed off to Henry on that exact same play, would he have gotten the first down? I don't know. But I would have liked the chances a whole lot more if the running back had some momentum to him rather than having to step sideways and take the shotgun handoff. Nothing makes me more mad in the entire sport of football, Joe Rexroad, than what we saw yesterday.
You know, I hear you for sure. It's really interesting. And actually, now that you mention it, there's gotta be some piece on this somewhere out there, right? In the last few years, because this is an epidemic. I mean, in football, there's a lot of this. I mean, I watch a lot of high school football these days, and it's, like the high school football, it's very much gone to just spread offenses and, you know, basically the running game's out of shotgun, right? I mean, just it's all over college football. There's still more under center stuff in the NFL than any other level, but it's still like there's got to be a coaching explanation for this, right?
I'm
with you. Like, the logic tells you get a running back, get him a couple steps downhill. If you just need to get a run, the quarterback turns, steps back a bit, hands, the running back has momentum going toward, you know, whatever gap it is, which is typically what you're doing on a, you know, like a 1 or 1 yard needed, and then that helps you,
right?
Yeah, so like logic, like physics would dictate that you're absolutely right, and yet look how prevalent this is in football. So I'd like to read something about that, and just beyond this particular play, I'd like to talk to some coaches about that, because it's really interesting, and it is very especially, of course, when it fails miserably like yesterday, it's very frustrating.
It's incredibly frustrating. And look, I think, because look, this is a Matt LaFleur epidemic. It's one of the biggest problems I have with him, maybe why I can't stand him as much as I can.
Now we've gotten to the root.
We may have gotten to the bottom.
Okay.
But okay. Having said, like, I think the explanation from the coaches would be, well, you line up in the shotgun,
you spread them out a little bit so they're not all clogged up in the middle there. But, I mean, it was fourth and one, and Derrick Henry was in. They knew Derrick Henry was getting the ball yesterday. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense to me, like you said, from a physics standpoint. And the Titans are not the only team that does it. It's prevalent throughout the league. I mean, look, the Chiefs do it too, and sometimes it works. Now, they run a bunch of different stuff out of the shotgun when they're in the red zone. So you can make it work, and you can find examples where lining up in the shotgun, handing the ball off to the running back, and it works just fine on a fourth and one. So I'm not saying like it never works. It just, to me, doesn't make any sense when you have a running back like Henry. Like, you got to get him as much positive momentum as you can get him. And like you said, Joe, if you block the play right, even in the shotgun handoff yesterday, maybe it's just him versus Franklin, and I have no idea how that goes. Maybe he's able to fall and get a yard there. I don't know. But it bothered me so much, that call yesterday. Of all the calls that Tim Kelly's made, and I've loved most of them, some of them I had a problem with, that is by far my biggest issue with Tim Kelly so far this season, was that fourth and one call. I hated it.
Yeah. So, and on that play, mentioned earlier, but, you know, Hubbard definitely, you know, Hubbard got beat quickly and really quickly. And so that gave Henry no chance of any kind of momentum going into the hole against Zaire Franklin. Yeah. And it was not even close. Doug says fourth and one, NWI went to the third level, blocked the safety instead of coming down to block Franklin. Either the misassignment or scheme was bad to leave a scrape, you know, scraping linebacker free. Yeah, I will say, Doug, I mean, I don't know. I can't answer your question on that, but I will say, again, if Hubbard can hold his block for any time at all, then it's interesting. It's Henry, it's Franklin, and it's a yard.
Yep.
And there's some momentum for Henry going into the collision with Franklin. I'd like to see it play out. He may be stopped anyway. Franklin's really good and very powerful player. So maybe still it's not ideal. But to the point of this rant, what if you're under center and he has some momentum coming into taking the handoff? Someone mentioned, hey, actually, how about this? How about Henry under center, tush push with Derrick Henry? What do you think?
I mean,
I'd like to see it.
If you're comfortable with him taking a snap, I'd love to see it.
Right.
If you're comfortable with him taking a snap, then maybe that's something you do. Like, who are you putting behind him to do the pushing?
Right. So you motion Tannehill out. Henry comes up under center. And then you bring, you've got Wesco or somebody in the game on the wing, and you motion him into the backfield.
Maybe so. Maybe we're on to something. We just found that. I would rather see that than a shotgun handoff on fourth and one.
Hire us as offensive coordinator.
Yes, maybe
that's,
so.
That's the primary takeaway.
Well, think about what a big play in the game that was. You've got the ball. It's the score was 20-16 at the time. So you've got the ball in the Indy 10. If you pick that up, then you got a fresh set of downs and four opportunities to score a touchdown. And that play call, Indy gets the ball deep in their own territory. They have a drive that takes a lot of clock off the time off the board after that. They kick the field goal. And by that point, Joe, it's 23-16, and the game's essentially over. Like, the Titans got the football back, and they had, I guess, somewhat of a chance to drive the ball down the field, but they're out of timeouts. Like, it was just going to be over at that point. So, I mean, that play was basically the end of the game for the Titans right there. We just couldn't get a stop on the defensive side of the ball after that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the defense then just lets them just continue to just paper cut, big shot, paper cut, and yeah, you're basically toast at the end of that. So, and you can also, we can go back to that and say, hey, you know, the field goal makes it a field goal game, and Nick Folk makes every field goal, so you get to within a Nick Folk field goal of winning the game, you know. But I think going there was the right thing.
I agree.
The play obviously was not the right thing. But yeah, like someone, Tyler, saying, what about just a Tannehill sneak? I mean, that was a little
that was a long yard.
That was a long yard, you know, so I think I'd rather Derrick Henry be the guy to try to get that. So look, it's obviously frustrating. Is that actually called, the Eagles play is called the brotherly shove? That is fantastic.
That's what it's been nicknamed. Yes, maybe the greatest nickname of a play in history.
Oh my god, that's amazing. But as people have pointed out, Jalen Hurts squats like 8,000 pounds.
Yeah, it's a little different.
But that's why, like, you get Henry in there. I kind of like that idea. Put that play in, Tim Kelly.
Let's just all take a pact. Let's eliminate 4th-and-1 shotgun plays to the running back. Let's take that pact here now. This is a Robbie and Rex Road show decision.
I'm with you. I will sign the petition right now. This is one of those things. I'm sure there's something out there about this. Like, I'm going to look for it. But it's so prevalent. And I know some of it is like the offense is so shotgunned that it's kind of like you're going to do things out of what you normally do.
Yeah.
But you know, I do want to hear from coaches on that, you know, on just the difference in why don't you take into consideration the difference in potentially getting downhill a little bit versus taking that sidestep shotgun draw handoff.
Butch Jones used to do this with Jalen Hurd, and I would just be shouting obscenities at the television while it was happening. It was great. Really
remember
loved
that.
It.
What was it? 1st and goal at the 1 at Florida in 2017?
Yeah. Oh, I remember. Fully remember.
Amazing, amazing series of football.
615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Corey Curtis from News 2. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans' loss to the Colts yesterday. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game.